is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Hi friends, this is Steve Shah, owner of Nature's Pavilion. We are a family-owned and operated natural food market and nutritional store for 15 years, located at 564 Route 23 North in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. We offer complimentary one-on-one customer support and advice to educate our guests with the health benefits of organic diets, green living, and proper supplementation for all your family's health and diet needs. This is the place where health-conscious consumers shop and doctors recommend. We also feature New Jersey's largest gluten-free product offerings. We are adding hundreds of new products every week. Visit us online at naturespavilion.net or call us at 973-831-5804. Hope to see you soon.
Escape on a vacation unlike anything you've ever imagined with one call to the experts at Dream Vacations Land and Cruise Travel. Prices have never been better. Mexico and the Caribbean are offering great vacation deals. Cruise lines have special promotional packages, and the cities of Europe are awaiting your arrival. Work with a travel agency that has your best interests in mind, all without any service fees. We are ready to arrange both your personal and business travel plans. Contact Dream Vacations Land and Cruise Travel today at 1-800-609-3012. That's 1-800-609-3012. Or visit justgreatvacations.com and get ready to discover the world.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. On today's show, we have a very special guest who has directed a wonderful film that I had a wonderful opportunity to view. It's called Jack of the Red Hearts, and our guest is the director and executive producer, and she also has won Emmy Award-winning producer and also won an award for the Special Jury Award for Best Performance in an Arizona Film Festival, and opened up to rave reviews in New York Times, LA Times, New York Observer, The Huffington Post, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter. The LA Times cited it as the lead actor for delivering one of the four independent film performances most overlooked for an Oscar nomination. In 2008, our guest Janet Grillo won an Emmy as an executive producer of HBO's Autism the Musical. While as an executive at New Line, she oversaw the House Party series and launched the careers of many esteemed filmmakers. We'd like to welcome to the program, a warm welcome to Janet Grillo.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so glad to have a chance to talk to you and talk about Jack of the Red Hearts. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. Just to kind of clarify, a different movie that I wrote and directed called Fly Away is the movie that got all those reviews and accolades and was, you know, suggested for Oscar nominations. That came out in 2008. I'm sorry, no, in 2011. Sorry. Fly Away came out in 2011. It's still available on iTunes and on Amazon. The new movie, Jack of the Red Hearts. Oh, and by the way, Fly Away, like Jack of the Red Hearts, is a narrative fiction feature, so it's not a documentary. None of these films are documentaries. They're films about, you know, characters. They're written and directed and played by actors. Autism the Musical is a documentary. I was one of the producers. That's a doc that aired on HBO and went on to win a few Emmys, and I think that a lot of people in our community are aware of it. Flyaway is a smaller film, not a doc. Some people are aware of it. I'd love for more people to see it. And now we've got a new one. Jack of the Red Hearts is going to air on Lifetime on April 23rd, Saturday night at 8 p.m., and we're really excited to be able to share it with such a wide audience. We've been very lucky on the festival circuit. Jack of the Red Hearts, this narrative fiction film, stars Anna Sophia Robb. I think a lot of the people who are out there listening might know her from movies like Bridge to Terabithia or Soul Surfer or Carrie Diaries. She's a wonderful young actress. And Famke Janssen plays the role of the mother in our film, Jack of the Red Hearts. And Famke is known from X-Men and Taken and a repeat role on How to Get Away with Murder. And she's a wonderful actress and a wonderful person, too. So we've been very lucky to have such a great cast. And we've been very lucky. Jack of the Red Hearts premiered a year ago in May at a film festival that was co-founded by Gina Davis. Of course, you know, Gina's the Oscar award-winning actress, and she is a big advocate for films that are made outside of the Hollywood system, films that tell stories that Hollywood corporate entertainment overlooks. And so she co-founded a brand new film festival to promote and support films made by women and other diverse people. So we premiered Jack of the Red Hearts at Gina Davis's film festival, the first one, the inaugural festival last May, and we won the grand jury prize. And then went on to show it at a bunch of other festivals, and it was very well received. We had a limited theatrical release, and now we're going to be on Lifetime. So we're very proud of it, very happy that we're able to tell this story to begin with and have such an opportunity to share it. The story of Jack of the Red Hearts, as I said, is fiction, but it's sharing a lot of truth. I'm the mother of a child on the autism spectrum, and the screenwriter, Jennifer Deaton, is the aunt of a girl who's severely impacted by autism. And her niece, Hannah, her brother and sister-in-law, and their lives inspired her to tell this fictional story. So through fiction, we're expressing truths, truths that we've known by living with and loving special kids who present us with all kinds of challenges as well as tremendous rewards and hopes. And it was super important to us that we share our truth and that we show a version of autism that's not usually seen in the popular media. And I know I felt this very strongly as a mom, and I have for quite some time, that a lot of times in popular culture, movies, TV shows, the version of autism that's been dramatized, often brilliantly and with great integrity, but it's limited, tends to be limited to the Asperger profile person, you know, somebody who is highly verbal, very expressive, has oftentimes special skills, and might go on and lead an independent life and basically do okay, right? Whereas I think we all know that most of, if not more, of the people on the wide spectrum of autism are not going to go on to lead independent lives. They're going to need a tremendous amount of supports and services, and they're going to outlive us as their caregivers. So who's going to? Who's going to take care of our kids and meet their needs? Who's going to help us as we look to meet their needs? Society at large. But if society at large thinks that autism is like, you know, quirky geniuses who go off and create the next app in Silicon Valley, why are they going to prioritize to help us and our kids? So we've got to be showing a different face of autism. We've got to be showing where the need is extreme and consistent and not just make them aware, but have them feel it, you know, because like they say, 10,000 people die, it's a tragedy. 10,000 people die and it's a statistic. One person dies and it's a tragedy. And so the opportunity that we have with storytelling is to create a human bond, create a moment of emotional, shared, bonding, empathy. And at the best, I feel like storytelling is like doing the radical act of empathy and compassion. And when we're inside of caring about very specific people with specific circumstances, those specifics become universals, and suddenly it's no longer them versus us, but we. And we as a society step forward and accept and appreciate and understand and care for each other better. So, you know, that's what we're doing, we hope, with Jack the Red Hearts.
Well, let me tell you, it's a tremendous film that really is extremely emotional. I mean, I found myself getting extremely emotional when some of the scenes relating back to some of my own personal experiences. And I think, you know, the film is shows a lot of that in there. And, you know, on that note, I mean, where did you get some of those scenes from? And, you know, who was the participating person to help you with some of that?
Well, you know, I sort of, when people said, hey, what was your research as well? 22 years as a mom of a child with autism. you know, living it. As I mentioned, Jennifer Deaton, a very talented woman who wrote the script, is the aunt of Hannah, her niece, who's severely impacted. So there was her research, Hannah and that family and living with and taking care of and helping out and being an intimate part of that very close-knit family. And then my own son. So, first of all, a lot of it was in the script in terms of Jennifer very accurately just getting through the day. What are some of the things that have happened with that family in terms of, you know, walking on the roof or, you know, as I think a lot of our families have experienced, you know, the kids smearing feces on the walls in the middle of the night and endlessly, you know, waking and jumping and laughing when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, which I know I've been through a whole lot of that myself. And then as we were directing and exploring during rehearsal with these wonderfully gifted actors, I started to remember a lot of what my son had done specifically when he was younger. He's now 22 and I'm, you know, very happy that he's progressed beautifully and doing really well. But, of course, you know, when he was younger, it looked a lot different. He looked a lot different. And there was a lot of what I called noodle time, where he would just literally, his body would just flop. It was sort of his form of protest. And he'd get very giggly and silly, or times that we would, and this is one of some of the joyful stuff that's in the movie, of a certain kind of way that we came to play with him to give him proprioceptive input, as we would roll him up in a big, thick comforter and kind of squish them together and swim around, and that became a real central part of how the family relates to this child, and she's delighted by it, and they're delighted, and it becomes very bonding. So, and then just things that I both remember my son doing, and then because he is doing so well, he's been able to tell me some things. You know, he'll say, hey, Mom, remember when, blah, 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 and then he'll describe how things used to look or feel or seem to him when he was much younger. And so I made use of what I could there and brought that into the movie. As you know, in the film, we go inside of the visual perception of the child with autism so that we're actually literally seeing the world through her point of view. And so what does that look like? How are sounds louder or more muffled or uneven? How is light and color oversaturated, more intense? Where does she look? What is she able to see or not see? When she's looking at a face, can she see the whole face, or is she focusing just on one portion of it? You know, how is what she's seeing a reflection both of her neurology and her emotional state, right? Because, you know, when our kids are more or less anxious, they're processing differently. I think that's something that all of us parents know.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're trying to create the perfect conditions for them to function at their optimal. And when there's too much input, they start to decompose, right, and decompress. So all of this firsthand empathic attunement as a mom and as an aunt went into writing the script, helping the actors to find their way through it, directing and creating the visual life and the emotional life. And we just, I can't stress this enough, just had incredibly talented, but not just talented, generous people in our cast. They're emotionally generous with each other. They were extremely supportive of each other. They were very emotionally generous towards the characters. You know, they embraced them wholeheartedly. We have the opportunity to introduce a new young actress named Taylor Richardson playing the role of Glory, the 11-year-old with severe manifestation of autism in the film. In fact, Taylor Richardson is a neurotypical actress who played Annie on Broadway. And she does a remarkable job. She's really great.
Yes.
And so many people, you know, after they see the film, so many people have come up to me and said, how did you get a child with that level of autism to perform? And it's like, well, which is what we were hoping. We were hoping that people would say, hey, how'd you get that actress to seem autistic versus how'd you get that autistic child to be able to act? So, so she's really amazing. Very, very gifted young girl.
Yes, it's an incredible portrayal. I mean, like I said, being in the autism community for so long, and you know, you kind of, like you said, it's almost hard to tell that she's an actress, you know, and that's, yeah. You know, you did your job then, you know, like, because that's not an easy thing to do.
Well, again, you know, this is sort of where I feel I had my opportunity. There are some really great movies and TV shows that have been made depicting autism. Not many of them have been made by people who are inside the community. And I think there's a big difference between people who are kind of from the outside looking at versus people who are from the inside and what they know. And so I feel like because I'm a filmmaker, because I have the skill set, I have a chance to, and because I know what I know as a parent, I have a chance to share something that we all share. And so that has been really, for me, you know, my compelling drive, which is to validate our experience for each other, first and foremost, because isn't that why we tell stories to begin with? You know, to sort of see and be seen, and there's an important human need to be part of community, to say we are here too, this is who I am, this is what my life is, and I think that's very necessary and cathartic and healing and essential, right? So,
absolutely.
So first and foremost, you know, to kind of validate for each other, it's like, we're really here, and yeah, we get it, and you're not alone. You're not alone. But then secondly, and this is a big goal, is to share our story beyond our community for people whose lives have not been touched by autism so that they can understand more about who we are, who our kids are, and to grow part of their heart a little bit bigger to make a space for us. And as I said before, especially a space for our kids as they continue past us. And they will. You know, the lifespan, like any child, is longer than the parents. And, you know, we need to be talking. We need to be talking candidly, honestly, with dignity, but clearly about what's going on.
Yes, I mean, Janet, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, there's so much more, you know, acceptance needs to happen and in the community and just in the world in general to accept our children. I think that's you know, still a big challenge. And, you know, your insight with the film, you know, like, you know, just some of the scenes, like, they hit home so much for so many people. I can only imagine. I mean, for me personally, you know, when they start talking about the therapies and the gluten-free and all the supplements and everything they go into, it's like, I felt like I was looking at my life, and it was really surreal. It brought me right back, like, wow, I remember being in my kitchen, and it was like I was there, and it was a very surreal moment for me, just that one scene alone. And there's just so many scenes in the film that, you know, you don't know the direction, you know, and obviously don't want to give away the story but you know, there's just so many different areas that hits your heart, you know, so many ways.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, of course, those of us who are living this day to day, we forget how sort of exotic, if you will, how exotic it is, and because it becomes our status quo, it becomes what's ordinary for us, we forget how unordinary it is. And so when we were making the film, there'd be people, you know, in the crew or other cast members, and they'd be like, wow, really? Just kind of blown away by all of this. And I'd have to remember, oh, yeah, right, not everybody does this.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Everybody spends $100,000 a year getting therapies and going from, you know, therapy to therapy to therapy to therapy all afternoon and then coming home and being exhausted and having to, you know, get into an argument with your spouse about was she gluten-free today or not and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's another important part of the film is that it's about the family. It's not just about the child. It's about the impact on the parents and on the sibling. And about the tremendous bonds of love the tremendous challenge that love gives us. I've often heard said, I'm sure you have too, that love isn't a feeling, it's a doing. It's not do we feel love, but what do we do in the face of it? How does love provide an opportunity for us to rise to our highest self, beyond our limitations to something we never thought we were going to be able to do? And I think that probably every single parent who's out there listening knows this. Who would have, when I was 20 years old, if somebody gave me a videotape of what my life was going to be like 20 years hence, I'd be like, I can't do that. That's not me. I don't have that strength. I don't have that courage. I don't have that endurance. It's like, well, yeah, you do, because you love your child. But it's also at great cost. So what's the stress on the marriage? What's happening to the other, incredibly compassionate sibling who also is neglected and overlooked? But importantly, this is an optimistic, warm-hearted film, right? So we're sharing these complexities and dimensions within something that is a positive movie. This is not, we're not feeling sorry for ourselves.
Right.
We're not blaming. We're not wallowing in pity or pain. It's entertaining. It's often funny. It's filled with heart and love, And it gives us a hopeful ending. It's not a false hope. It's not a unbelievable, everybody's fixed kind of magic. But things do get a little bit better. And so that's important to us also, is that, we're creating a story that's first and foremost engaging, entertaining, and people are going to want to have that experience, right?
Nice.
It's not an onerous job to sit through this film at all. We've gotten audience awards at regular film festivals, right? So where people just walk in off the street and see the movie and, really appreciate and enjoy it. But it's also telling the truth. It's also sharing some of what we know.
Well, you guys did a tremendous job on this film. And like I said, and it is so true to life. And, like you were talking about the relationships, I think that's really important, because you see the stresses that, it's on the husband, on the wife, on the siblings, and you see, these are real issues, and I've gone through some of those issues myself in my own personal, struggles with our son, in the early days, and a lot of things have, like you said, they've gotten better, but,
yeah.
It just takes you back to that moment. You're like, oh my God, I remember this happening to me. And you can totally, empathize and sympathize with the performers.
Right. So, the little girl, the character of Glory in our film, who's wonderfully played by Taylor Richardson, as I mentioned before, is functionally nonverbal. So she has language, but it's echolalia. It's not really, she's not using it to communicate or certainly help us to understand what's going on inside of her. And yet she is connecting with the family, and yet she is making her needs known. And yet she still does, as a character, have a growth arc. And yet things do get a little bit better, and she becomes more accessed and more engaged and less remote. And that was, super important, too, that we're showing that these are full lives. These are people with autism. This isn't just a person with a diagnosis, right? And in our story, Jack, played by Anna Sophia Robb, is a total outsider who's completely untrained. In fact, she's a con artist. She's a scammer. And for her own reasons, she needs to lay low for a while and make some money. She gets in trouble with her probation officer, so she pulls an identity theft. And she cons the very desperate mother of this severely autistic child. The mother's played by Famke Johnson. She cons her into believing that she's a trained, responsible therapist, and the mother hires her to come into the home and help her take care of her kid. And the family's at the breaking point, right? So when the character Jack enters, presenting herself as somebody who's older and trained and all that, and she does it in a very clever way so that the mother's convinced. You have to see the movie to see how. And she comes into this world. So it's a kind of, it's an entree. It's a fish out of water story so that a general audience is being led into the situation. And so Jack's experience and kind of like, wow, the aperture is widening, the light's coming to the room and she's like getting it. She's starting to see, as the general audience sees, exactly what this is all about. And so, as I mentioned, she's a con artist, right? And so she thinks she's there for a couple of weeks, make a little money, get out. She's there to exploit the situation. But once she's there, what she starts to appreciate is love. She starts to appreciate who these people are and what they're doing for their child, and she starts to appreciate this child. And much to her surprise, she starts to feel love and that she is loved, and that changes everything. Again, it's not syrupy. It's not fake. I think that love is the curative power, and that when you're around the real thing, it moves you and it changes you, and then we change each other. So what we see is through the next couple of weeks is this group of very unexpected, unlikely hero, right, with scrappy survivors help each other just a little bit, and things do get a little bit better. It's not all fixed. It's not magic. But in the most surprising ways and the most unexpected ways, things get a bit better. Now, you know, interestingly, it was my experience when my son was younger that I had been, you know, hiring the ABA-trained college kids to come in, and I was having some really bad experiences where young girls who had read a couple of books and taken a class were coming in, and they were looking at my son not as a child but as a diagnosis. They were looking at him as a chapter in the workbook that they had just been given, and they were not connecting to him. I ended up instead hiring young actors who were playful and engaging and just up for it. And I trained them to connect to and relate to my son according to where he was at and build from there. So we ended up going the floor time way. And that I started to find that the less trained they were, the more effective they were, because they were just connecting with the actual person and meeting him at his level. And then, of course, I would give them skills and other kinds of exercises and things like that to help to expand him outwards. So that's why when I read this script, as I mentioned, I didn't write it, but when I was given it to read, I was like, okay, I buy this. Because here's, in the character of Jack, here's somebody who's totally untrained, but she's got good instincts and she's got a good heart. And she comes into this house and she's not looking at somebody that she's read about and studied about. She's looking at a kid. She's just looking at a kid who has behaviors, and she's responding to that. And so that's, you know, when we, some people have seen the movie and said, well, you know, how could this happen? And in fact, it happens because she isn't trained. Now, by the way, we're not advocating that people shouldn't get training. We're not advocating you should bring untrained con artists into your home. But, you know, how is it that this character is able to make an impact? Oddly, because she has no preconceptions. And also, she's got fresh energy. You know, we were saying before, one of the most important resources that we have as a community is hope. And we don't want to squander that. So we need fresh horses. You know, it is exhausting. It is tiring. It is 24/7. And also, as I mentioned, my son's 22 now. So when he was first diagnosed, not as much was known. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, a lot of snake oil salesmen out there, right, who had the next best thing that was going to make it all better. The most dangerous thing about that is false hope. So you get all excited, this is going to do the trick, make all the difference. Guess what? It doesn't. Hey, the kid down the block went gluten-free and is suddenly speaking, and your kid, same diet, no improvement. Hope is squandered. How do we keep ourselves afloat? How do we keep believing and keep the energy going to try that next thing, to see your child as somebody with possibility and potential, to you know, replenish and refill your own tank? I mean, I think in many ways that's the hardest thing as a parent, is to make sure that your needs are getting met while you're meeting the needs of your child. That's a real tricky piece of business. So one of the things that the character Jack gives is hope when she comes into that home, because she doesn't have any expectations. She's able to believe that something's going to be better at a point where the parents are exhausted and they're telling themselves that they believe it, but maybe in their heart they don't anymore. So the girl comes in and she has no reason not to believe it. So, you know, that matters. That matters.
Well, it's just such a great film. You know, it's amazing what you guys have created in so many different levels, Janet, with the film. You know, so many different angles, you know, being looked at, and this whole family and the, how she brings everything to life when she comes in.
Well, thanks. And, you know, like I said, we're so excited that it's going to be in Lifetime. So we hope that anybody's out there listening to this will tune in on April 23rd. It'll be shown with Hope a couple of times. You know, Lifetime tends to show movies more than once. But that's when we hope that people will tune in. Because, of course, the more people that see it that night, the better the ratings, the more likely that they'll show it more times and at better times. And then, by the way, as of May 3rd, the film will also be available on video on demand, DVD, streaming platforms, so it can be widely, you know, widely seen. But it's also super important that people in our community not only tell each other, but tell our friends and family and neighbors who are not in the community to check in out and watch it too, because we need to share the message with each other, but then beyond. Also, we have a lot of social media that's super informative and will keep people posted and also, you know, creates community too. We've got a wonderful Facebook page called Jack of the Red Hearts Facebook page, and we're constantly posting and giving news of where you can see the film, and we've got a Twitter feed. You can see our trailer. We've got a website, jackoftheredhearts.com, where you can check out the trailer. So we just looking to share it widely.
Well, it's great. I mean, Jack of the Red Hearts, it's a great story. It's a fictional story that really carries real life knowledge, and it's, you know, it features the real deal of being parenting a child with autism. You know, and it gives a lot of insight on so many issues in the families and so many different things. And I'm hoping we can get this message out there, Janet. We're definitely, you know, put all the information on autismradio.org so, you know, people can tune in and learn more about the film and, you know, get the word and get the message out there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And, we're excited to be having this in the world.
it's such a wonderful film, and it really, it's hilarious and it's heart-wrenching at the same time, and it's just such a well-done film that, you know, I finally, you know, see a film that I feel really truly captures a lot of people in the autism community and their families and what they go through. So we really thank you for, you know, directing this film and getting it out there. I think it's important.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much. I also just want to mention before we go that while you're waiting to see Jack the Red Hearts during Autism Awareness Month on April 23rd, you can also check out my other movie, Fly Away, which is also a narrative fiction film. It stars Ashley Ricards, who's well-known from the MTV comedy series Awkward, and she plays a teenager with autism and does a brilliant job. And this is a movie that was very, very highly touted and said Oscar nominations were due and like that. And that can be seen on Amazon and on iTunes. So while you're waiting to see Jack of the Red Hearts, or after see Jack of the Red Hearts, if you want more, please also check out Fly Away.
Well, Janet, we'll definitely share all that information on our Facebook page and Twitter and autismradio.org. We'll make sure all that information gets out there to the community to share it. And hopefully everybody enjoys the film, because I know they will, and probably shed some tears and some laughs at the same time. So we just want to thank you for spending some time with us today and directing this wonderful film.
Thank you so much.
Well, we'd just like to thank Janet Grillo, the director of Jack of the Red Hearts. We'll have all the information up on the autismradio.org website. We'd like to thank all the listeners, as always, for the continued support here on the program and Hope Saves the Day. And be sure to tune in to autismradio.org every Monday night at 8 p.m. for your newest updated show. And also, you can listen to on various FM stations throughout the country. So go to our website and you can find out where to listen to. So we'd like to wish everybody a great week. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Have a great one, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel. a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to. Let this song be my voice and remember hope saves the day.